was wondering if you could talk about anger and its purpose. And
yes.
How you let go of it.
No, but anger does have a very legitimate, important, beneficial purpose. It's not really a negative emotion, as long as it's in balance. So if you want to think of something as being negative, in balance, if you want to use that negative word, we'll come back to anger in a minute, but let's think about, for example, fire. Is fire a negative influence? Well, sometimes, you know, like in California a couple of years ago when they had 1,000 wildfires at once, people would say, yes, it's so destructive, it's so dangerous, you know, burns up all our property, people are dying. There's nothing negative about fire, per se. I mean, yes, if you get too close to it, it will hurt you. If you get too far away, you'll probably freeze to death in this kind of climate. But with a balanced relationship to it, it's very beneficial. Is it bad? No. It's all about a balanced relationship. So the same thing is true with anger. Now, anger, as I say, has a legitimate and important function. When an emotion, any emotion arises, a couple things happen. First of all, emotion shows up and it opens up a landscape of certain possibilities for action that wasn't there before. Another example is, you know, when you're really scared, what happens is it opens up a possibility for actions related to fight or flight. It means that there's something dangerous or threatening. And it opens up the possibility of either getting the hell out of there, that's the flight part, or fight, meaning overcome it. And a person who is very frightened has some extraordinary capacities in that area that they don't when they're just chilled out. You know, like you hear these stories of, you know, what is it, the truck backs up and has pinned their child underneath it, and the child is, you know, dying and stuff, and the woman somehow finds the strength to lift up the truck and move it off the car. I mean, these are things that happen. So, each emotion opens up a doorway to certain actions and closes the other ones. Like when you're really scared, you really can't do anything else except for fight or flight. You know, you can't eat, you can't make love, you can't laugh, you can't do anything else. But you have some exceptional capacities in the fight or flight department. So it opens up the door to the landscape of possibilities and closes the other ones so that you can respond appropriately, resolve the situation, and then what happens? The emotional energy moves on. So any emotion opens up a door to certain actions, and also it gives you the power, the oomph, the impulse, whatever you want to call it, to actually take those actions. Is that making sense so far?
Sure.
Okay. So now, anger. Anger is related to the energy of growth, which is a form of self-expression. When I'm speaking about growth, I'm talking about physical growth, but also growth in mind and spirit. And, you know, if you think just of physical growth for a moment, if something gets bigger, it means its boundaries expand. And this is obvious, right? A little sprout has certain small boundaries. This is inside the boundary, that's the seedling, and outside that's everything else. And so everything has certain boundaries. And it's important to maintain the integrity of the boundaries. So, when a boundary is threatened or when it's violated, there's an emotional energy that arises that opens up the doorway to boundary restoring activity and gives us the power or the impulse to move through that doorway and restore the boundaries. So, that's called anger. Now, the thing is that when we have a balanced relationship to that energy, it's not a problematical thing, it's not a negative thing. It doesn't create more problems. On the contrary, it resolves things. And you get to move on. Because if we have a good relationship to it, it just arises at just the right level to respond to the intensity of the violation. So a very small violation, a very mild expression will restore it. A little bit more. Stronger one, stronger. Boundary restoring. Very strong one, more intense. A very mild example of this is that I have a particular personal boundary about coffee. I don't drink it. It's a boundary for me. So somebody comes up and offers me a cup of coffee. I say, no thank you, I don't drink coffee. That's actually a form of anger. It's a very mild threat to my boundary, very mild expression. Puts the boundary back in place, and then everything moves along. The situation changes, and then emotion comes up and so forth. It's not that somebody offers me a cup of coffee and I smack them in the face.
Sometimes.
On the other hand, it's not that somebody offers me a cup of coffee and, you know, if I, I'm kind of afraid of this boundary restoring energy, I say, oh, thank you very much, and I drink the thing. And if I do that over and over and over again, that very small amount of anger that wants to come out and do its job starts to build up inside me. And over time it can get bigger and bigger and bigger. Like putting a little log dam across the stream, you get a huge fucking lake behind it. And then what happens? Somebody offers me a cup of coffee and I do hit him in the face. Because it's going to break the dam sooner or later. And probably before it breaks the dam, it's going to start eating away at me. I'm going to be angry at myself. Why the fuck didn't you, tell the person to get that cup of coffee and shove it up there, whatever. You jerk. I'm talking to myself. Even if you don't have that conversation exactly like that in your mind, it's eating at you, and that can produce, it does produce illness. All kinds of possible illnesses. So, a slightly stronger violation is, you know, you're standing in line at the checkout counter at the grocery store or something. Young woman in front of you is wearing one of those 4-inch spike high heels, and she steps on your toe. Okay, that's a very demonstrative boundary violation. And so, usually, it's sufficient to say, excuse me, but you're standing on my toe.
But if it's a high heel, it's
it
like,
is high
like,
heel.
Wow, you're standing on my toe. Like,
could be.
I would go like that, because I mean, if it hurts a lot.
Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, if your relationship with anger is good, it automatically, spontaneously arises at just the right level to resolve the violation. So, in this case, you know, the young woman says, oh, I'm terribly sorry, I didn't realize. It gets off your toe. Unless she's actually got some other agenda. And that's going to bring up a different response in you. So like I say, unless you have a lot of buildup behind the dam, we find that anger is a very useful, important, necessary part of life.
I have a couple questions. The first one is, what about the kind of anger, like, a toddler who wants candy and you say no? So it's more of wanting something and being denied, and the toddler's melting down and angry.
And what?
And angry, because a desire isn't being fulfilled.
Yeah, well, in that case, where it usually gets into problems is when the parent is responding with anger. And then the child pushes back against that, and then it starts escalating.
Sure.
Okay. But, again, that's a case, if that happens, then it shows the parent has some buildup there. Okay? There's a difference between, you could say that it is all about boundary setting. But, you can give a child a boundary without being hostile or aggressive about it. And then the child will, maybe scream for a while, and then they get over it. Unless it gets into this ping pong game.
Well, what if it's an adult who really wants something who's angry because they're not getting it? I mean, that idea of, is that also a way that people get angry?
Well, yes, it is. But in those cases, it's always the same thing. In other words, if a person is getting, out of proportion angry because they can't get something that they want, it shows that they've got a buildup. It means their relationship to anger is not in balance. And this is something that is almost universal in our society. Because anger is defined by our society as negative. And that if you express it, it means you're a bad person, you're going to get punished, or some version of this. So that people who are all subject to this, they get trained to fear the expression of anger. Now this starts happening very early. The kind of thing that you're talking about. Very young children, even pre-verbal children, get punished for showing anger. And it can even be the kind of punishment that is, it may not be so harsh as somebody was telling me that, I can't remember, angry expression of a child in their family, the child was put into an ice cold shower or something like that. But even when it's not that demonstrative, very often what happens in response to an expression of anger from a child is the parent withdraws their love. This is terrifying to a young child. Because young children depend for their life on the care and love and so forth of their parents. So people in general in our society tend to have a very poor relationship to anger, to fear. And therefore the expression of it is bottled up, it dams up. Produces illness and suffering for them. And sometimes, like I say, what happens with that kind of buildup is it gets distorted into aggression or even hatred. Now, the difference between healthy anger and aggression, healthy anger is just what's needed to restore the boundary, and it's aggression. It's not about restoring boundary anymore. It's about violating somebody else's boundary. And that all always comes back to, you know, either from the person you're engaging with or as you're saying, even if it's somebody else, if it's still out there, it's going to come back. And then, you know, you get all this, as I say, pushing back and forth, which can be very destructive, violent, displaced anger that's turned into violence and hatred. And this also relates to the earlier question, because this kind of thing produces, has produced and continues to produce a massive suffering. Warfare, for example.
So how do you help people who have that, like an individual person who has that bottled up backlog of anger and has been taught it's not okay to express it?
Well, there are certain kind of healing interventions that can help get things moving. The kind of work we do here, plant-based medicine. There's many forms of helping things get moving. But one thing is that when that happens, it can be quite explosive. There's a big buildup. And that can be very scary and threatening, the person's going through that. So one of the things that's always needed, whatever the form of therapy or intervention, whatever you want to call it, that it's important to create a place of where you feel safe to express. Which means that you feel accepted. And I don't feel like it's going to create any danger or punishment or judgment for them to let it fly. So, and then, in those kind of circumstances, also you can, speaking now as a healer or a therapist, this isn't a, you know, unless you're asked by somebody else to help in this way, it's not your job. If you are, and you have what it takes, then you can, you know, you can suggest or prescribe certain practices for blowing off anger in a way that is not damaging. So, you know, there's a lot of things where people are told to beat up on their pillows and scream in the closet or that kind of stuff. And that's helpful.
And the other question I had was when you talked about things growing, I'm thinking about as children grow and their boundaries are naturally changing, whether there are some kind of imbalances that they're adjusting for that can cause those kinds of,
well,
you know.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily an imbalance. I mean, it depends very much on how the parents deal with that. But, you know, growth is naturally a process of expanding boundaries, and as any parent knows, children are constantly testing the boundaries. That's not a bad thing. I mean, it's part of the natural process of growth. But what favors the child is that they have to, first of all, they have to know that there are boundaries. That actually makes them feel safe. And also that the boundaries have to be expressed and, let's call it, not the greatest word, but maintained or enforced, in an atmosphere, in a mood of acceptance and not in a mood that, that promotes fear. Or a mood of, you know, an angry response. Because if they're made to feel frightened of expressing anger, well, then we get the dam and the stream and all the things that come up with that. if they're responded to an anger, then you just get this escalating back and forth.
So you mentioned a little bit about the exercise, some exercises that might be used to release anger, but those don't necessarily work for everybody. How does one release anger and permanently let it go?
Well, it's really not about permanent. I mean, yes, the backlog has to be worked off. But does that mean you'll never be angry again?
No, I don't mean that. I meant, like, if let's say there's a specific issue that's been really stuffed, to really just finally release it.
The little trick there is the fear says that this is about the issue, and that has to be resolved. And that's a clever little trick, because the issue is always in the past, and you can't change the past. So the setup is, it's never going to be resolved. But it's a little trick, because it doesn't have to be. The issue is not what the fear says it is, that so-and-so did this to me when I was with you. The issue is, I've bottled up a bunch of anger here. The solution is very simple. Let it out. And it doesn't move along. Now, it can take a while, particularly if it's been bottled up for a long time. But it's much simpler than the mind makes it out. Again, it's not the issue. It's the anger itself. I'm just seeing it as a presence that wants to and needs to move.